Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's up? It's Monday, January 20th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And now we have four teams left in the NFL. Conference Championship coming at us this upcoming weekend, but we got to unpack the divisional round. All four games, of course, and we're going to do a little fantasy postmortem for the four teams who lost in the divisional round as we look towards the offseason. The offseason starts now for them. Before we get into that, of course, FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. Especially if you're a fantasy baseball player, we have you covered, man. Fantasy baseball drafts are not that far away at this point. And if you're not starting now, you're behind. You are behind, and I don't know about you, but I don't like having my opponents have the advantage over me. We'll give you that advantage. We'll give you that edge at FTNFantasy.com. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, we'll start with the first game on the list here, of course, which was Kansas City and Houston. And honestly, it really wasn't a bad game for Houston at all. They ended up outgaining the Kansas City Chiefs in this game. They are the first team ever actually to lose a playoff game after outgaining their opponent by 100 plus total yards and committing zero turnovers. So that says something right there. The previous 49 times this happened, the team who did so won. So now it's 49-1. The Texans are also the only franchise who's never won a road playoff game or made a conference championship. On the Kansas City side, I don't want to sit here and just crap all over Patrick Mahomes. I think that's so tired. It's so lazy. People did it for years over Tom Brady. Now they're doing the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. I will say this. Did this game feature a bad call or two? Sure. But guess what? You know what also featured a bad call or two? The remaining three games this weekend. That's going to happen. It's part of football. Is it the best part? No, but it's part of it. You know, these officials are making bang, bang calls, and sometimes they miss them, sometimes they get them wrong, and sometimes the calls they make aren't reviewable. It's just part of the game. But the run down the sideline and toy with the defenders and then try to get a 15-yard penalty, honestly, I don't think that's Patrick Mahomes' fault. Or Josh Allen or any of the other quarterbacks who do it, because Patrick Mahomes is not the only quarterback who does it. It's a fault of the rules. The rules are crappy. The rules are built for Peyton Manning, for Drew Bledsoe, for Dan Marino, like the previous generations of quarterbacks where very few of them were mobile. Like you didn't have a lot of Steve Youngs and Randall Cunninghams. Most of these guys were statues. The rules don't apply today in the same way because now if you're a statue, you're rare. Like Matthew Stafford, you're rare. Most of these guys are at least moderately mobile, and some of them, as we know, are incredibly mobile. The NFL just has to do something to change the rules. Like we have the late slide thing as well that often does result in flags, but really, should it? Can you really blame the airborne defender? Like, nope, you have to change your trajectory here. So there's a problem there, and it's not a Patrick Mahomes problem, and I said this on my SiriusXM show, and I'm going to reiterate it here. If you were playing a game and you knew you could get an edge on your opponents by doing something in that game, would you do it? And I'm willing to say, like, nobody listening to this podcast right now is like, you know what? No, I wouldn't do it. It just isn't fair. Of course you do it. I do it. Everybody does it. All the ding-dongs who wake up at 3 a.m. to work waivers because they think they get an edge, of course they're doing it. You know, like, people want edges. Patrick Mahomes and some of these other quarterbacks have figured out a way to get a slight edge. Of course they're doing it. You can't blame them. You know, don't hate the player, hate the game. But a lot of people do hate Mahomes, and here they are advancing yet again. And really, they didn't have to do that much. It was Mahomes to Kelce largely in this one. Kelce accounting for 66% of the total passing yards, 117 receiving yards for him, and the touchdown. He's a different player in the playoffs. And, you know, again, Mahomes didn't do that much. He only had 177 passing yards. He ran seven times, but only for 14 yards. Like, he didn't have to do that much. He's going to have to do a whole heck of a lot more against Buffalo. Over to the other side, and really, oh, by the way, one other thing, too, before I go to the other side. DeAndre Hopkins didn't have a catch. Now, ordinarily, whatever, who cares? No, this was the first time in his career, including the postseason, that he didn't have a catch. That's insane. 184 games. It was the second longest streak to begin a career. The only one with a longer streak, including the postseason, was Marvin Harrison Sr., 206 games for him. So end of an era there in this revenge game, but they didn't need him, so not a huge deal. To the other side, honestly, they played good football. I mean, Nico Collins did exactly what they needed him to do. He had 5 for 81, not massive, but solid. Joe Mixon looked good, 18 for 88 and a touchdown, caught a couple balls as well. And CJ Stroud was fine. He didn't throw for any passing touchdowns, but he was fine. So, you know, I think the moral of the story here is they have a great foundation. Mixon has guaranteed money left on his contract. Yes, he'll be 29 next year, but I do expect him to stick around. Obviously, Nico Collins is going to be an elite fantasy option. Mixon will be very draftable. He'll likely be in that dead zone period again this year, but that is a little bit, you know, fluid compared to what it was last year. We're going to take a closer look at that as we move towards May, when I'll have my first draft strategy. We'll be starting to put that together in May, and then that'll of course be out in the game plan draft guide, which is a summer release. But anyway, I'm not exactly sure what that dead zone looks like this year. I suspect it's going to look a little different than last year, but there obviously still will be dead zone periods for every position in the draft. Well, wide receiver, maybe not as much, but definitely tight end, quarterback dead zones, and running back dead zone for sure. So the question I have is, how do they address wide receiver? Because Tank Dell should be back. You know, I don't know if he'll be ready for the start of the season, but he should be back at some point during the season. And we know how good he is when he's on the field. The problem is he's finished the last two seasons on season-ending injured reserve. So that's a bit of an issue, and I do not expect Stephon Diggs to be re-signed. He only had a one-year deal anyway, and highly unlikely that they re-sign a 32-year-old who's coming off of a significant injury. So that's the big question, and you know, I think it will impact C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's going to be a late-round guy in one quarterback leagues, and you know, he'll be like a super flex option in that format. But there's upside with him. There's no doubt about it. And you're not paying the premium price you were paying this past year. You know, and I love guys like that, where we can make up ground on our opponents and also get a guy with a potentially very high ceiling. You know, he'll be inside the top 20, but only barely inside the top 20. I have him at 18 right now. But if they do address the position, now I don't know if this is the year to draft the wide receiver, but then again, the free agency class isn't that good. But I do think that's one of the holes that they need to fill on this offense. Otherwise, obviously, Collins will be elite. We'll see what happens with Tank Dell. I'm not really that in on Dalton Schultz. I think tight end's going to be intriguing this year elsewhere, but I could still see him potentially being a draftable option. It's just not my type when it comes to fantasy tight ends. So there's your Houston Texans. Let's move on to the next game. Of course, that being a surprise, Washington. Wow. 45-31 over Detroit. And honestly, didn't see that one coming. I mean, it was a hell of a game. Washington showed up big time. I thought coming into the game that if Detroit allowed Washington to stay in it, that's where they would have some problems. But it was even more than that. It wasn't Washington staying in it. It was Washington seizing control and really taking advantage of a lot of mistakes by Jared Goff, and then a really questionable play call with the Jameson Williams pass that ended up being an interception. Four interceptions total, obviously three of them by Jared Goff in this one. And it was just too much, and Washington did their thing. On the Commander side, so Jaden Daniels has more wins in the postseason than he has negative plays. And when we talk about a negative play, we're talking about a sack, fumble, or interception, fumble lost, obviously. He has one of those in the postseason. He has two wins. It's crazy. He also is the fifth player in NFL history with 300-plus total yards, 2-plus passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in each of the first two games of a postseason. This isn't a rookie thing. This is an overall thing. And the other players to do it, 03, Peyton Manning did it, Matt Ryan in 2016, Mahomes in 2019, and Josh Allen in 2021. So you have three guys who won at least one MVP there in the first three, and then Allen could very well win the MVP this year. We'll see. A hell of a game. A hell of a game for Brian Robinson with 2 touchdowns. Honestly, Austin Eckler, 6 for 47 on the ground, 4 for 41 as a pass catcher. Terry McLaurin with the long touchdown. Diami Brown, is he finally rounding into form? Because honestly, he was one of those like deep dynasty guys who I thought, eh, probably never much. But here we are, and the dude is actually playing really good football, and he's filling a huge need for the team. They needed a number two receiver, and he really stepped in and has filled that role down the stretch. He goes 6 for 98 in this one. That was really, really impressive. Now, I don't want to sell the Lions short. We know they're all, you know, all the key guys are going to be fantasy factors again next year. Jahmyr Gibbs playing his rear end off in this one, going for 175 scrimmage yards on 20 touches. Now, David Montgomery came back, didn't really do that much. Like, it was obvious that Gibbs was the priority. I think that could be telling for next year. Now, I don't want to just say, oh, what we saw here is what we'll see in the future. No, like, we can't do that. But do we see more of Gibbs and a little less of Montgomery next year? Because Montgomery, I don't think he goes anywhere. He's under contract. There's guaranteed money left on the contract. But a little more Gibbs, a little less Monty? Maybe. Gibbs is going to be elite regardless. He's going to be a first-round selection in all non-super flex leagues. Obviously, Amon-Ra could be in that conversation as well, and he played great in this one. And what I love about this year, you know, in a lot of ways, kind of like how I said, you know, we're probably going to get a value on CJ Stroud. We're probably going to get a value on Sam Laporta. Like, he didn't get off to the best start. He burnt people who stepped up and drafted him as the first or second tight end off the board. And yet, when you look back at things, the overall state of the season was pretty good for him. It just came later, and he was good in this one too. 6 for 51 and a touchdown. He probably will end up being in that wheelhouse range when all is said and done this year, and sign me up for that. So, you know, I guess the only other question would be Jared Goff, because Jameson Williams is going to be an upside wide receiver three. But Jared Goff, the challenge that I run into with a type of quarterback like him, if they're not running quarterbacks, they have to hit their passing ceiling in order to be, you know, startable in one quarterback leagues. Now, he did that this year, but is he going to do it every year? You know, I don't know if that's possible. He doesn't add with his legs, so he's going to have to put up 4,500 plus and close to 40 passing touchdowns to be, you know, a viable top 10-ish option. Whereas somebody like Jaden Daniels, who very much could do that as a passer, I don't want to sell him short here, but he doesn't necessarily have to because he can put up so much more with his legs. I mean, heck, in this game, he had 16 rushing attempts for 51 yards. 51 yards is, you know, that's 1.1 more points than a passing touchdown would be. So, I mean, obviously that's huge. But I figure Jared Goff, he'll probably end up getting drafted earlier than I'm willing to take him because I know people will chase these numbers from this year. I just don't know how sustainable they are, especially if Ben Johnson, in fact, does depart. And that's the other elephant in the room as we look forward to this upcoming year in 2025. They could lose both their coordinators. And it sounds like Dan Campbell is prepared for that to happen. Aaron Glenn could go elsewhere, and Ben Johnson could go elsewhere. And for fantasy, it could make a difference. You know, I keep going back to the 2022 to 2023 Eagles. They lost both of their coordinators, Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator who went to Indy, and they were not able to fill his shoes with Brian Johnson. That did not work. Now, this year, Kellen Moore does a nice job, gets the train back on the tracks, but could that be the case for the Lions? I don't know. Maybe they get somebody who's just as good as Ben Johnson, if not better. I don't know if those guys grow on trees, but that's at least a consideration we need to make there as well. All right, let's do that thing where we pay some bills, and we'll be back to talk about the Sunday slate. And we're back. Snow was the theme of the day for Sunday. We had snow in both games. Of course, the snow came down during the course of the Philly-LA game and made things very interesting. But ultimately, the Eagles were able to hold on here. And really, I mean, I guess there's two words that describe this game. Saquon Barkley, at least for the Eagles. 26 for 205 and 2. The dude put up 200 in both of his games against the Rams this year. That's insanity. And, you know, it just felt like it was going to happen. It felt like we were going to get that, and that is exactly what we got. The Eagles are now 14-1 in their last 15 games. Their only loss was to the Commanders. Of course, that was a week where Jalen Hurts exited the game due to concussion. And unfortunately, Jalen Hurts is banged up again. It's a knee issue. I don't know the extent of things because, well, nobody's told anybody the extent of things. But ultimately, He's already told reporters he plans to play. Obviously, the practice reports are going to be key here. But I think he does play regardless of the state of things. And, you know, just because you're on the field doesn't mean everything is hunky-dory. So we will have to keep a close eye on the reports as we move forward to next week. The one thing about the Eagles in Jalen Hurts' time as a starter, if they win in the postseason, he doesn't throw for a lot of yards. And that was the case here. Now, the weather obviously impacted things. You also had a play. His yardage total could have been a good bit higher. A.J. Brown had what looked like it was going to be a touchdown, but it was sort of bobbled. And you know, not to knock A.J. Brown, it was a tough reception to make and wasn't able to secure it, even though technically he did, quote, catch it. He caught it too late and was already out of bounds at that point. But regardless, that's always going to be a thing with the Philadelphia Eagles in the postseason. Or in general, I just don't expect Hurts to throw for a lot of yards, regardless of their opponent. Now, we know how Washington likes to play teams. They like to boat race. I don't think Philly's going to let them do that, you know, and if they do it, then Washington's going to win. I'll just put it flat out. They are 5.5-point underdogs, but I don't want to sit here and just say, oh, no, they can't win, because we know they can. We know they can. It's going to be a pretty awesome game. So to the other side, the Rams played a very good game. I don't want to knock this team at all. Defensively, they were very impressive. Jared Verse looks like he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. Like, he's awesome. But it wasn't just him on the defensive side of the ball. But then you look to the offensive side of the ball. Matthew Stafford had 324 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions in this awful weather. You know, you had Nacua. Now, Nacua, the Eagles did a nice job. They contained him 6 for 97. Like, contained him to that. But he did see 14 targets. You had DeMarcus Robinson stepping up, 3 for 74. You had Cooper Kupp break out of his slump, 5 for 61. And you had Tyler Higbee. This was the dude we remembered. Like, he was awesome in this game. 7 for 54, scored a touchdown early, 10 targets. More importantly, he ran 39 routes. Colby Parkinson ran just 3. I'm going to have to really take a close look at Tyler Higbee as we head into the offseason, because if he's healthy, he's going to be a factor in this offense. And I think there's some rumblings about Matthew Stafford's future. I don't see him going anywhere. So heading into this next year, Nacua is elite. We know that. But is this, you know, the beginning of the end for Cooper Kupp? Was this season sort of the beginning of the end, or maybe it already happened? I think the answer is yes. And I don't want to just box score scout and be like, oh, he's on the decline. Look at the numbers. Numbers can lie. You know, Randy Moss in his time with the Raiders looked like a declining player. He wasn't declining. He was just in a crappy situation. But Cooper Kupp isn't in a crappy situation. It's a good team with a very capable quarterback who, as of right now, I don't know if Matthew Stafford's Hall of Fame, but that's going to be a conversation. You know, it's certainly not an instance where it's like, no, he's definitely not a Hall of Famer. Like, he has a lot of the resume that you're looking for. You know, and especially after having the Super Bowl win, he has that resume. So anyway, very capable quarterback. I think Cooper Kupp is just spiraling at this point. It's slow. It's not a fast spiral, but it's a slow spiral, and I don't expect it to improve. The problem is when the decline starts with football players, it almost never reverses. I can't even think off the top of my head of an instance where it reversed. So, like, and I'm not, like, again, I don't think Randy Moss was in decline. I don't think Tom Brady was in decline at the end of his time with the Patriots. You know, I actually don't even think he was in decline this last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But regardless, I digress. It's going to be challenging with Cooper Kupp. He's going to be one of those guys where you will see on my draft boards that I'm not going to be drafting him. Like, I just won't. Because I don't see the upside in doing it. As far as Kyren Williams, you know, he's workmanlike. And yes, Blake Corum is there. I don't care. Sean McVay feeds his dudes, and that is exactly what they're going to do here. They're going to feed Kyren Williams, continue to feed Kyren Williams. That's going to be the thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. He'll be a top 12-ish type guy. The one thing he doesn't add a ton is in the passing game when they're healthy, when they have all their guys out there, they're not going to throw to him a bunch in the passing game. And that's okay. It just puts a little bit of a cap on what he can do. But he's so good in the red area that I'm not really worried there. As far as addressing anything, maybe we'll see them address a little bit at wide receiver. I don't know if Jordan Whittington ever becomes a thing for them, Or, you know, are they going to keep doing that? You know, let's draft a guy on day three and see if we hit. I mean, very well could do that. But an impressive season for the Rams, given where they were at the beginning of the year. All right, let's go to the final game here. Buffalo just eking it out over Baltimore. And no, this was not Mark Andrews' fault. Yes, he dropped the potential game-tying two-point conversion, but he wasn't the only person yesterday who made mistakes. And he isn't the only person in the history of football going to make mistakes. And he wasn't the only person on his team to make mistakes. Lamar Jackson had two crucial mistakes in the first half that really put the Ravens behind the eight ball. He had an interception, probably shouldn't have been thrown, and he threw it. And then he had an atrocious fumble. An atrocious fumble. Like, brutal. And, you know, after the fact, he had explained it was an RPO, and he looked to throw. Now, I will say this. He didn't throw because, you know, the offensive linemen were too far down the field, so it would have gotten flagged, but I would have taken the flag as opposed to a turnover. Regardless, it wasn't just Mark Andrews. And I know it's a shame that it's Mark Andrews, like, for a couple of reasons. Like, obviously, people are going to remember the last play of the game. They're not going to remember a lot of the things that happened along the way. This happens in fantasy. You know, fantasy, if you have a guy who doesn't come through on Monday night, you blame that guy for your loss. And then you really could look up and down your lineup and find 17 different other places where your lineup fell short for that week, right? But also, Mark Andrews, especially for the fantasy crowd, he wasn't exactly a favorite this year with how he started. But regardless, I digress. Let's talk about the Buffalo side. It's striking that Josh Allen had 127 passing yards and 20 rushing yards. That's it. 147 total. And they won the game. James Cook had 17 for 67 on the ground, like 3.9 yards per carry. That's it. No touchdowns. They won the game. Like, he did. I mean, he did have 15 yards as a pass catcher, but nobody stood out really as pass catchers as well. Khalil Shakir, I guess, 6 for 67 is good. This was something else. It was a very lopsided game. Ravens really did everything with one notable exception. The one area they lost in, and really it's the reason why they lost the game, was in the turnover margin. They had three turnovers. Bills had zero. So Josh put him on their back. He scored two rushing touchdowns. They were two of the most determined quarterback rushing touchdowns I've ever seen. And here we go. We get our rematch, you know, yet again, a playoff postseason rematch between the Bills and Chiefs in the Allen Mahomes era. And I'm looking forward to it. I would love to see the Buffalo Bills win that thing. Not because I hate the Chiefs, but I do think it's important that other stars get a shot on the big stage. We've seen Joe Burrow get a shot. Let's give Josh Allen a shot. I think Lamar, ultimately, I would love to see him get a shot. It's fun. Dynasties are cool. Everybody hates them. And I don't think that's a bad thing, too. I love heels. You know, I'm not a wrestling person, but I still think a heel is like the best part of wrestling. You need a heel. You need somebody to rally everybody against, right? And the Chiefs have emerged as that. The Patriots were it for a while, and now it's the Chiefs. And okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't mind seeing a different team in there. And a different quarterback get his shot. All right, let's do a postmortem here on the Ravens. They are going to be, well, I mean, generally speaking from a continuity standpoint, very similar next year. Derrick Henry still has guaranteed money on his contract. Yes, he's up there in age, but boy, he does not look it. He had a 1,900-yard season this year, so expect more of the same out of Derrick Henry. He's still going to be essentially a top five guy at running back for me. I don't care. He's phenomenal. Lamar is going to be an elite option. We know that. Regular season, he was absolutely brilliant. Sure, the postseason didn't end well. He was brilliant in the regular season. And that's not going to change going into next year. He's going to be just as good, if not better. And for fantasy, yeah, you're going to have to draft him as one of the top quarterbacks off the board. Is it worth it to do that? I don't think so. I'm still going to work a lot on, you know, as I mentioned, sort of the draft strategy heading into next year, but I highly doubt drafting an elite quarterback is going to be a part of it. The value cost is just too much if you're doing it in the second or third round, just way too much. Moving to the pass catcher. So obviously Zay Flowers didn't play in this game. I am going to still really like him a lot as a top 24 guy. He gives you a little bit of a boomer bust profile, but still young and still improving, could be even better next year. And then the benefit is outside of Likely and Andrews, they don't have much here. Like Rashad Bateman is going to be like a boomer bust top 60 guy. You know, I would love him to take another step forward. And there are times where I see Rashad Bateman, I'm like, yo, that's why he got drafted where he did. But then there are a lot of other times where he just disappears, or really he just is limited by the fact that this offense is going to run the football a lot. You know, Derrick Henry had 16 rushing attempts in this game. Lamar and Justice Hill had 6 apiece. Like, they're going to run the football a good bit. Lamar only threw the ball 25 times. You know, that's going to put a cap on what you can do when you're the third or fourth in the pecking order. You know, the first is going to be Flowers. Second, still going to be Andrews. It's you and Likely. And honestly, Likely is really stinking good too. So it does put a cap on what he can do. Mark Andrews is going to be an interesting case study. I do think a lot of people are going to shy away from him. So you may be able to get him even outside of like the wheelhouse range. As of now, I am ranking him in the wheelhouse range, but he's going to be interesting. And usually when there are players like that where people just shy away from, those are the guys I go after because you can get them so cheap. Likely probably won't get enough work to be anything more than what he was this year, which for most of this season, he was a volatile streamer. But I mean, I don't see a lot of gaps. I mean, I suppose they could backfill at running back. But even there, how much of a priority is that? It's just that this year is a really good year to have a running back or to draft a running back. So you have Henry and Justice Hill, your veterans there. Could you backfill and have somebody who maybe is a step up on Rasheen Ali, something like that? Yeah, I think you very well could. Keaton Mitchell, by the way, still going to be more of a special teamer and, you know, kind of big play explosive guy who you're not going to give very many touches to, even if he is like the number two, which he won't be if Justice Hill is there. So really, Henry, Lamar, going to be super prioritized. Love the upside of Zay Flowers. I think Mark Andrews actually will be worth the risk, and then we kind of take it from there with the Baltimore Ravens. All right, so obviously we just have two games this week. It's a little bit of a different week, but I'm going to cover it straight on through the week, and I think one of the fun things to do this week is look at the evolution of the betting markets, because there's a lot of things that are going to change. So we'll use that to inform things for one and done for DFS, and we'll give you a big preview later in the week. It's likely that preview comes on Thursday this week, because since it's only two games, I'll have a lot of, you know, a little bit more time to put things together in advance. But that's the plan for now. And as we move past that into Super Bowl mode, yes, I'm going to do the thing that everybody does where I'm going to cover the Super Bowl for 2 weeks. But we have a lot of other stuff that I want to do on the podcast. We have postmortems for the remaining 18 teams that didn't make the playoffs. We can do early look at some rookie prospects. Obviously, we have Dynasty Startup season here. So we'll talk some Dynasty rankings, startup strategy, what I do in startup drafts to try and build an effective roster that can be competitive both in year one, but then down the line, year three, year four, year five, you don't get old and then all of a sudden you're not competitive because you've drafted too many old guys in your startup. So much more to come. Appreciate everybody sticking around for the offseason. That's important, because if this show doesn't get downloads in the offseason, I can tell you flat out, it's not going to continue to run. And that's not good. I would like this to continue to run. Please rate, review the show wherever you listen to it. If it's on Apple or Spotify, please do so. Huge help to me right there. Go check out ftnfantasy.com. Follow along with me on Twitter/X. I am at Jeff Ratcliffe, also at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And that's going to do it for today. So I will catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.